Father, we thank you for this night, God, where we can dive into your word, and we pray that it would not be a regular thing, but that we would allow your Holy Spirit to work in our lives, that you would bring us from glory to glory, and you would change us, that we would bear your image and your likeness, that we would glorify you. And Lord, as we continue to look at the life of Joseph, we pray, God, that we would relate well to him and particularly his brothers as we look at his brothers tonight and talk about the beauty of repentance. Father, we thank you for everyone that's here. We pray that you would bless them. We pray this would be a fruitful time. In Jesus' name we say, amen. We find ourselves in chapter 44 of Genesis as we're working our way through this awesome book. And we find ourselves in verse 17 tonight. But before I get there, the title of our message is The Beauty of Repentance. How many of you spend time, or maybe you might say waste time, looking at the TV or having the TV look at you? Anybody? Not you, only me? Okay, anyway. I think I work hard, and I think I use my brain a lot, so when I go home, I just veg. I get into my comfortable couch and I sink myself in. Well, my wife goes out and runs 50 miles. She comes back. You're still there? I go, yes, dear. Okay, I'm going out again. I said, eat your heart out. She goes out for another 32-mile bike ride. She comes back. Oh, you're still there. Is there anything you want? Yes, bring me a drink. Roll me a burrito or something. And I'm watching programs. And the most favorite programs I enjoy are when people restore stuff, whether it be cars, whether it be houses, whether it be knickknacks. I love those kind of programs. There's a program out there that's locally based. It's called Renovation Aloha. And they take these messed up houses and they just really do a job on them. And they look very, very beautiful and they sell them for big bucks. I love it. I really like Motor Trend when they take these classic rusted vehicles that they find in the middle of a field, infested with mice, infested with rust, and with time and hard work and big money, the builders craft a beautiful thing that is better than you. I like watching these programs because I can relate it so much to our lives in Christ, because some of us are wrecks, we've been wrecks. Some of us are rusted or messed up. But God in his love has taken us. He's put in the time. He's put in his grace. And we come out to something better than we were in the past. He makes us beauty from ashes, and he makes us into someone that is usable for the kingdom of God. Like I mentioned, when I first came here, like Pastor Anthony, when I first came to Calvary Chapel, I got involved. And first it was just like cleaning bathrooms or vacuuming. And then I found myself in the nursery with the little kids. And usually when the little kid cries, it's because something went on downstairs and you like to clean that up. One time I remember we were doing an outreach and we had this one child just like had waterfalls of vomit, can I say that? And pouring down one of the guy's backs. I said, what a beautiful thing. So beautiful because, you know what, their parents are listening to the word and their parents are getting saved or their parents are being reconciled to God, and that's a beautiful thing. And yeah, we get to hear the crying and all this and that, and we get to change diapers and all this and that, but you know what? We're serving God and his purpose. That's why I'm so into getting involved, and that's why I'm so into God doing a great work in all of our lives, young and old. Now, last week when we got together and we started chapter 44, we see that we're continuing to track the life of Joseph and what a life he lived. And unfortunately, most of his life was focused on challenge and trial because of the bad choices of his older brothers. Now in 44, verse 1, Joseph instructs his servant to fill his brother's bags with grain and add their payment on the top of the grain. Now, if you're not familiar, Joseph, in the midst of his trials, was put to a place or promoted to a place of great power. He was second to Pharaoh, all because of the work and faithfulness and purpose of God. Now, not only did he instruct his servant to fill the bags to the tilt and put their money back, he said, hey, in the younger one's bag, put my special silver chalice. Now remember, Benjamin was the natural brother of Joseph, but yet he used Benjamin without partiality for leverage to get to the hearts of the brothers. Because even at this point, the brothers were still hard. Now when Joseph says to his servant, hey, okay, they're going to get up early and they're going to head out. When they get to the outside of the city, I need you to confront them. Joseph is giving his servant the play-by-play. Now, the brothers weren't aware of this. They weren't aware of what was going on. And you'll see that. We'll see that continue to unfold here in the rest of the chapter. And so they're denying it. No, we didn't do such thing, you know, blah, blah, blah. We didn't take things away from, you know, our Lord. They're referring to Joseph. We didn't do that. And the servant said, well, we'll see. So they lowered the bags and they found, what is this? Why is there money here? What's going on? What's going on here? And then they found the chalice in Benjamin's bag. So as the scene plays out, and God was working on their hearts, they were forced to come back to Joseph so they can fess up. We see the Lord continually working on their hearts, like he works on our hearts. What is God speaking to you about today, about you and him? In my high school classes that I teach here at the school, I teach Bible. And any assignment that I give to our kids, I say, hey, what did you learn? And how is God speaking to you? Because if God is not speaking to you, it's not worth anything. It's just wasting time. And as he speaks to you, what are you going to allow him to do? How are you going to submit to him? Because God speaks to us in all kinds of different ways, doesn't he? Doesn't he? Your bills? Yikes. Tax time? Yikes. At the workplace? I don't know. You have your own trial. You have your own challenge, like I have my own challenges. Again, when this scripted event comes to pass, the steward brings back the brothers to return to the presence of Joseph for full accountability. And so we'll read back a little bit. When Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there, and they fell to the ground before him. And Joseph said to them, what is this deed that you have done? Do you not know that such a man as I can indeed practice divination? Or don't you know that I know what's going on behind the scenes? You're trying to hide from me? How could you? You can't fool me. Again, with the Lord in us, we can't fool God. Nothing goes on behind the scenes that he's not aware of. But in our flesh, we like to be sneaky, don't we? Well, when it comes to God, as I tell the kids, you'll never win a game of tag with God. You'll never. Because he will always win in the end. So Judah said, verse 16, what can we say to my Lord? What can we speak? And how can we justify ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Behold, We are our Lord's slaves, both we and the one in whose possession the cup has been found. And then Joseph says to them in verse 17, but he said, far be from me, or God forbid, I do this. But the man in whose possession the cup has been found, he shall be my slave. But as for you, go in peace. Go back to your dad, your father, in the land of Canaan. Again, this is a beautifully orchestrated event by God through Joseph to get the attention of the brothers that were so hard and did such a treacherous thing to their brother Joseph years past. And now everything's coming to fruition. Now full accountability is there. Hey guys, you know what? I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to take the one where they found the chalice in his bag, and he's going to be my slave forever. Oh, remember, this is Joseph. This is the one where their father Jacob in his old age said, hey, you know what? When I let you take care of your younger brother way back when he died, talking about Joseph, and now you want to take Benjamin, the son of my old age? What are you doing? And this finally broke the brothers. Finally, God got their attention. Then Joseph hears out Judah as Judah wants to go and explain himself. He said, hey, okay, my Lord, verse 18, may your servant please speak a word in my Lord's ears? And do not be angry with me, your servant, for you are equal to Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, we have an old father and a little child of his old age, and now his brother is dead, so he alone is left of his mother, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me that I might set my eyes on him. But we said to my Lord, hey, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And you said to your servants, however, unless your younger brother comes down with you, you will not see my face again. Now, in a way, as I was looking at this, I was wondering, was Judah implying, putting blame on Joseph, that they're in this whole situation? Hey, wait a minute, we didn't want to bring the little guy down, but you insisted we bring him down, and so we did. We're just following orders, your orders. Let me give you a life's principle. The issue isn't about another person. The issue is about you and about me. Lord, it's the woman you gave me. Lord, it's my employer. Lord, it's my kids. It's like in the school. I tell the kids, hey, what do you tell your parents when you get a bad grade? What do you tell them? My teacher hates me. My teacher has it out for me. It's my teacher's fault. Well, the problem in our school sometimes is parents make excuses for their kids. I know, I can see through that. I have kids. We got through all high school and college and all that stuff. Now, back in my day, because I remember, as I was writing out my notes, my parents never believed what I said. It was back to teacher. I remember I took a math class. What grade was I? Seventh grade. Mrs. Dunnigan, not Dunnigan, Duncan. Dunkin' Donuts. And I remember I procrastinated. I never really did the homework. And she checked it and she made me make notes. And so one day she called my dad in. And my dad was not a happy camper. He brought me, he goes, you told me you've been doing all your work. I said, I had, Dad. He goes, don't lie. Okay, don't lie. Don't lie to me. Now, after you do your work, I have to sign your homework to verify to the teacher that you did it. And I'm going, oh man. I said, I can't stand that teacher. She's picking on me. No, she's not picking on you. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. So now I had to come out of work to come over here, and you stained my name, and this is the embarrassing position that we're in. Fast forward, 2024. A lot of parents don't do that nowadays, and I appreciate the parents that do. The issue is never someone else. The issue is you. When you point one finger, three fingers point back to you, to me. The mouth speaks what the heart contains. Hey, there's no way you can lie. The heart speaks what one contains. Hey, it's your fault. It wasn't Joseph's fault that the brothers found themselves in this situation. It was due to their actions years ago and how they betrayed Joseph. They treated him harshly because they were jealous. They sold him into slavery and left him for dead. And on top of that, they told their parents a flat-out lie about his well-being. True repentance takes place when you admit that you take responsibility for your sins and your wrongs. Psalms 149:4 says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the humble with salvation." If you're a Christian today, and you mess up, like all of us mess up, right? Everyone falls short of the glory of God. Take the hit, take responsibility, and be sensitive to the Lord. Keep short accounts with him. This morning I was listening to Pastor Bill's message, and I took some notes, and I varied the notes a little bit. He goes, 35% of what people see is me. The rest is fake. Okay? We like to be posers. We like to look better than we really are. We need to be open to the Lord as he sees the real you and he sees the real me. What you see is what you get. No man knows me but the Spirit of the Lord within. See, we can't hide from God. God sees us. He knows the truth, but yet in knowing the truth, he loves us. And he imparts his grace toward us. Verse 19. My Lord asked his servant, saying, "Have you a father or a brother?" And then he said to your servants, "Bring out down my little brother." And we said to him, "The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave, his father shall die." And you said to your servants, "However, unless your youngest brother comes down to you, you will not see me again." Thus it came about when he went up to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, "Go back and buy us a little food." But he said, "We can't go down without our little brother with us. And then we will go down, for we cannot see the man's face to get food unless our little brother is with us. Your servant, your father, said to us," and they're talking to Joseph, "You know that my wife bore to me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, 'Surely he is torn into pieces, and I have not seen him since. And you, if you take the little one from me also, any harm that befalls him, you will bring me my gray hair down to Sheol in sorrow. Now, therefore, when I come to your servants, my father, the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life." So again, we see God working on the hearts of their brothers. They're really shocked right now. We see earlier that they rent their clothes, which means a deep heart's despair. Now, Benjamin, it looks like Benjamin's going to stay there under the, the big man's, or they don't know, it's Joseph, under his domain, so they won't be able to take him back to dad. And this is how God works on the heart. The heart of these brothers is going to be melted like butter in the sight of the Lord. Psalms 147:18, he sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and all the waters flow. Matthew 14:7, from the time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The main gist or the main purpose of God is the repentance of man. Like I mentioned, this restoration projects of old cars. God wants to take a life and change it for his glory. Now, some of you might be out there and go, oh, I'm not as bad. You know, I don't cuss and I don't do all these things. I don't drink. I don't smoke. And you know, I'm a really perfect person and stuff like that. I'm not to the extreme. You seem like you're extreme. Look at that shirt you're wearing. You know, I mean, it's just like too much. Well, don't harden your heart. You can't harden your heart. God knows the perfect move to get in there. You put all your protection up. You put your guard up and go, oh, bah! He knows how to get to your heart, so don't harden it. A hardened heart is not good. And we see many examples of that in God's word. Remember Pharaoh in the time of Moses? He was so resistant. Remember, let my people go. No. Let my people go. No. So God said, okay, I'm going to harden your heart. And in hardening his heart, Pharaoh died in pride and in sin. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar? That guy had a lot of pride. He had so much pride that God said, okay, you want your pride? I'm going to turn you into a beast. You can eat the weeds of the field. And then later on, he comes to his senses and he repents. The Sadducees and Pharisees, they were religious people and they thought they were close to God, but yet they were far away from him. And their hearts were hardened toward the Lord. Repentance is not only for those who are new in Christ, but repentance is also for those of us that have walked in Christ for some time, and it's called rededication. It's the brand new year. You wanted to make a brand new year in him? How many of you are out there popping fireworks? How many of you were in your room praying that God would ignite something new in your heart? Psalms 51 is called a repentance psalm. By David. And when David was caught in sin with Bathsheba, he comes up with this psalm and he says, mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me against you. Only you have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and behold me. And behold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Hey, we all need to repent. We need to repent from ourselves. We have to pray, Lord, save me from myself and bring me into the joy of your salvation. Anybody make a resolution for the year? Oh, okay, just me. Make this your resolution or your resolve. Acknowledge your sin, seek forgiveness of the Lord, and commit to living a life of righteousness. Do that in 2025. And the Lord willing, when we get to 2026, we will see how great the Lord has used us. Hey, we can't be stiff-necked people, okay? Sometimes we so get so entrenched in ourselves, we can't hear from God. But here in our story, we see how the brothers are melting away. Joseph was very calculated in using Benjamin to hold the chalice, because this is the leverage that he needed to get the brothers' attention. See, God is against those that are proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The word says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. What's it going to take? Now here, we're going on, this is our 20th year of school here at Calvary Chapel Christian School. And it's been fun. My black hair turned gray. It's okay. I love it. In the beginning, when children want to come to school, we conduct a parent interview. And one of the parent questions of the parent interview is, hey, what's discipline? And what do? And parents tell us, you know, what discipline is to them, what they do, and stuff. I've gotten some very interesting replies. And at the end of the interview, I go, well, okay, thank you for taking the time to come, and we'll let you know about your child's placement here. And I will say, time will tell. Well, we've had some very supportive parents. And I know who the parents are that have a conviction to raise their kids in the Lord, because for the most part, the kids follow through. I remember years ago, we had this kid, well, not a kid, but yeah, I was a kid, but anyway, that's all I deal with, it's kids. We had a situation on the elementary playground, and I guess one of the older boys was doing mama jokes to the other students. Your mama this, your mama that. And it got back to me, hey, Pastor Ed, yeah, there's this guy, one of the kids is on the playground doing mama jokes. Okay, bring him to the office. You know, and so I told them, this is years ago. I looked at him and go, hey, were you talking about somebody's mama? No, Pastor Ed. Are you sure? I swear I wasn't talking about anybody's mama. I said, and I smile. You know, this is why I go, okay. You know, you can't lie to God. So if you're going to tell me you didn't do it, I'm going to believe you, okay? But before I let you go back to play on the playground, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, are you telling me the truth? This kid just broke down. He broke down. And I was like, wow, this kid is really sensitive to the Lord. I'm glad he confessed. Then I pulled a card. This is elementary school. We have these card systems. I pulled a card. I gave him a little notice. And then the next day, his mom made a little necklace for him to wear with the card around it. Like the scarlet letter. I said, right on, Mom. I love you. Well, he left our school, and later on, I saw him years later, and he still remembered me. Hey, Pastor Ed, I go, hey, what's up, man? Remember me? He goes, yeah, good. And he still liked me. He didn't say, then another time, I was walking around the hallways at school. Man, is this all you do? Yeah. Rocking around the hallways of school, and there's this one gal, and I go, hey, can I talk to you? She goes, yes. I go, I understand you're in the locker room cussing out the other girls and harassing them. I'm sorry. I just said that. I didn't know she was. I just said it arbitrarily to her. Okay, come here, honey. Let me pray for you. Don't do it again, okay? I think that was just like a word of wisdom that God gave me, or knowledge, because I was just messing with her, and she broke down. And you know, I believe they were sensitive to that. Their heart was sensitive because the parents were doing what they were supposed to do at home. Now, I'm not going to tell the stories about the kids that don't listen, you know, because I have some stories here. 10 pages, no, I have some stories here. But God works. How many times have you been busted by the Lord? You. Or I should ask a better question. How many times have I been busted by the Lord? Many times. It's only by God's grace that I'm here on this staff. God is faithful to the faithless in his love. He said, I'm going to take that guy with that messed up shirt and I'm going to use him just to blow everyone else away. I tell the kids, hey, if God can use me, he can use you even that much more. Okay? So keep your feet and keep your mind on Christ and allow him to do the work in your life. Go home today and surprise your parents. Go home today and tell them you love them. Go home today and tell them I'm praying for you. Go home today and live for the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's repentance? Repentance is full disclosure before God. The opening of the heart without hesitation or delay. You know, when you confess things before the Lord, the wrongs that you've done, it just lifts so much of a burden from you, doesn't it? You could just push on and go, wow. Now, you can't go on feeling, because feelings will mess you up. How many of you got saved and you asked yourself, am I really saved? Anybody? I guess I'm talking to myself. Anybody? Yeah. I was like that. I didn't believe I was saved until I memorized the right scriptures. By grace, I've been saved, not by works that I can't boast about. And this is why God gave that helmet of salvation to protect my mind, because it gets squirrely sometimes and you start to doubt. See, I wasn't like the guy that came in over the Lord, you know, all blubbering and everything like that. That wasn't me. I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah. But God saves. Regardless of how you feel, you can't go on feelings. You have to go on faith. Because it's God's promise. And he made a commitment to you and to me regarding salvation. Salvation is a beautiful thing when it comes with real repentance. 27. Your servant, my father, as Judah continues the story, you know, this is now he's talking to his dad. You know that my wife Rachel bore me two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces. That was Joseph. And I have not seen him since. Again, Jacob, old man, Israel, he thought that Joseph was dead, but Joseph was here talking to the brothers. But they didn't know that was Joseph. And if you take this little one from me and harm comes upon him, man, you're going to send me down. I'm going to die because of this. And now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, Judah, speaking to Joseph, and the lad is not with us since his life is bound up in the lad's life, when he sees that the lad is not there with us because he's here as your slave, thus your servants will bring gray hair on your servant, our father, down to Sheol in sorrow. Man, this melted them. They realized what they did years ago was wrong. They realized that they're reaping the wages of their sin right now. They're realizing that they're all paying the price, and dad back home is paying the price. The brothers started to respond to God. They started to move their eyes from themselves to others. See, selfish people don't think about anyone but themselves. It's rooted in pride. Dog eat dog, self-preservation. Me. I'm the focus. I grew up in Southern California. Everything is about me. Climb the corporate ladder. It doesn't matter who you step on. Just step on them to advance yourself. I was taught that. Everyone was taught that. It was embedded in them. When I was younger, I couldn't care less about anyone but myself. Then I had kids. My three sons. And I had one son that was just like, oh. If I could strangle him, I would. But I didn't, because he's still alive. Someplace. And I remember calling my parents and telling them, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? Sorry because I was such a pain when I was a young man. You're still a pain. No, they didn't say that. They said, okay, it's okay, son. Yeah, I said, I'm having problems with so-and-so. Oh, you just need to encourage him. He's a great kid and everything. That's their favorite, right? If they have a favorite, it probably is their favorite. He's in the military. He's serving our country proudly. He's someplace. We don't know where. He says, Mom, Dad, I'm going to deploy. Don't ask me where I'm going because I won't know. Okay. Call us when you can. Yeah, we'll see. I left my phone on shore and let's see. Okay. As I recollect the story of the brothers, they were cruel. Could you do this to your parents? Could you be so heartless to watch your elderly mom and dad suffer in pain and sorrow based on a lie? Hey, I got Joseph's coat. Is this it? Is this it that's all torn up and got blood on it? Is this it, Dad? Huh? I don't know. Has anybody ever seen their parents cry or have a breakdown? That's hard. I remember when I was a little kid, we had a little dog, and my mom said, you know, be careful with that dog. This is back in the old days where if your dog bit you, they used to put a notice on the house. Quarantine! They did that because I was messing with my dog, putting, you know, my finger by his thing. It bit me again. My mom was saying, you know, they're gonna come and put the dog down. And we're all like, you know, kids, ah! And then my mom, I remember she just broke down. I was like, nothing like seeing your parents break down. But it sure gets your attention. Never mess with my dog again after that guy. And he lived till 17 years old. Let's finish this up. For your servant came surety. Now, Judah's saying, hey, I put my life up for my younger brother's life to my father, saying, if I don't bring him back, then let me bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain steadfast for the little guy as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers and take me instead. Take me, please. Take me, that my dad wouldn't have to go through the pain. I will become the sacrifice for my brother. I will be his ransom. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. The beauty of repentance. Repentance is a beautiful thing. We need to love the Lord above all our passions, our family members, our wives, our spouses, our hobbies, our activities, our profession. We need to put the Lord first and foremost. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul also says that, hey, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives within me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, I do so in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That should be the focus. Repentance is beautiful. It's the passing from death into life. It's the passing from anger into joy. It's the passing from being an enemy of God to being a child and a friend and a brother of Christ. It's passing from aimlessness to vision. It's passing from darkness into his light. It's a changed perspective, no longer about the temporal, no longer about a self-centered purpose. It's about others first. It's about giving one's time to a true purpose, the ministry of God. It's about receiving the forgiveness of God. And it's about understanding we will no longer receive the wages of our death. Repentance is beautiful. Have you experienced it? Have you experienced it ever? If you haven't, let me encourage you. All you have to do is ask the Lord to forgive. Have you not experienced it in a fresh way in a long time? All you need to do is rededicate your life to the Lord. See, the Lord doesn't get caught up in words. He gets caught up in the heart. And he sees our heart, and that's all we need. That's all he needs in order to do a great work.